Our Lord Jesus the Christ. What is the best place you have ever bathed or gone for a swim? What do you think? What is the best place you have ever bathed yourself, right? Or gone for a swim, right? Which water was it? Was it ocean waters, lakes, water springs, right?
Swimming pool.
That is what I love about Southern California, that we have access to all of them, right, within a single drive. For me, the best place remains the waters near San Clemente, right, at Doheny State Beach. That remains my favorite spot. Those waters are the Pacific Ocean, right, waters which I have always been closest to, but at a different locations. And so this, of course, makes all the differences. It was hard for me to enjoy these waters up in Washington State or even in San Francisco, since the water seemed awful cold in there, right? In Long Beach, the waters were surrounded by these oil drills, right, which look like little islands, but with a lot of those marine, all those boats there, the marine traffic, it seemed like at times it was hard to feel truly clean there, right, with all of that pollution going on there. But Doheny, I might go today, actually, after church. Go surf. But Doheny, I feel different, right? The waters feel refreshing. They feel holy, right? I feel somehow cleansed by the salt water of the ocean at Doheny. And when I go there, it is definitely full immersion, right? Since I go to surf. And to surf, I have to immerse myself completely and trust the ocean, right? Trust my ability to swim in those waters. And the most important is that I have to let go, right? Williamson, in his book titled Remember Who You Are, Baptism, a Model for Christian Life, he describes the baptism font as a place of letting go, right? A certain level of trust is required to enter those waters. And an example that he provided matched my own experience of my son in his early days of swimming, right? Adam, he was about 6 months when we took him to for his first swimming lessons. And I remember the swimming instructor said to me, the first thing and the best thing to do when teaching babies how to swim is to simply let go, right? And I will always remember the shock that I felt when the swimming instructor just grabbed Adam and he just plunged him into the water, right? My heart stopped for a minute. But then he was using his natural instinct, right, paddling and swimming up to the surface, right? So babies spend 9 months, right, in the water, right? So it is natural. They know how to operate in the water, right? William uses this to talk about the trust that is required when it comes to entrusting those under our care to the care of God, right? Which is what happened at the baptismal font. We let go of our children or ourselves into the hands of the church and the promises of God, trusting that the Spirit will sustain them and will sustain us. So today we see a God who lets go of God's Son, right? Jesus. God allows Jesus to enter the chaotic waters of the world. Right, a world full of terror, a world full of sin and pain. In our gospel, Jesus is at the beginning of his public appearance, and he comes to the waters of the River Jordan. Now, compared to other waters, it wasn't the best of waters, right? recalling the story of Nahum in the Old Testament, and I think we read through that not that long ago. But this Nahum, he's asked by the prophet Elijah to immerse himself 7 times into this same river, the River Jordan, so that he can be healed from his skin disease. And if you remember the story, what does Nahum, how does he respond? He feels insulted by this, right? He said, "Are no Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" Right? "Could I not wash them and be clean? Can I not wash in them and be clean?" Right? Jesus did not have to emerge into these perhaps filthy and muddy waters, but he does, as a way to show solidarity with us. He fully immersed himself into our world so that he might exactly know what human life involves. And so he let his whole self go into the current of human history. And that is the hardest part for any of us to do, right? Letting go. If you're a parent, you may know the pain, the ache of letting go of your kids when they first start school or when they go off to college, right? You know the world's waters can be dangerous and can knock them down. But that is what baptism invites us to trust, to let go of our fears, our pride, our self-reliance, our sin, and to entrust ourselves to the care of God, right, who guides us and who emerges into the waters of wholeness and healing love. And so, reflecting or looking at the second reading, we see this in our second reading with Peter. Not this Peter, Peter from the Bible, right? So Peter is asked to let go of his prejudice, right? He was asked to go and minister to Gentile Christians. He was a faithful Jew, so in his time, Jews and Gentiles did not associate with one another, let alone they would sit together at a meal table. But because of their cleansing customs and their cultural norms and what they can eat or were allowed to eat, they will never sit together. But Peter receives a message from God saying, "All of what I have made, right, is holy. Nothing of what I have made is profane." And so Peter goes and he preaches a message that we heard today. And it is a message about Jesus and his baptism and what he accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection. And then they received the Holy Spirit and they were baptized as Peter and other disciples did on the day of Pentecost, right? So they are now the recipients of another wave of the Holy Spirit descending on God's people. The most significant thing that happened at Jesus' baptism, going back to the gospel, is that the heavens open up and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, the beloved, whom I am well pleased." And then what happened? The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, right? Providing the breath and the force that would accompany Jesus through the trials of his ministry, right? He receives the Holy Spirit. And so baptism is the same for us. It is a significant event in our lives. It isn't just a graduation ceremony or a past event that we can look back. But it is the beginning of God's work in us, or the reaffirmation of that work in us, right? When God poured God's Spirit into us, right, we were given oxygen needed to swim in the deep waters of this world. And so as we stand at the beginning of this new year, 2026, right, we are invited to remember our beginnings as children of God. Right, those who stood next to us, those of past generations, but also to reflect on what we may need to let go of today. Right? What past mistakes or failures are weighing us down? God, through the Scripture, also invites us to continue to trust the newness of the Spirit, right? And calls us to be a light to the nations and to bring justice to the world as Jesus did. The good news for us today is that God comes to us to breathe life into us through the power of the Holy Spirit, giving us the strength to fulfill our baptismal calling. And so this is what our baptismal calling is, once again, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth, right? Let us continue to entrust ourselves and everyone we love to this God of mercy for continued direction and healing and renewal. Amen.